We have been looking at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount from the Gospel of Matthew. And today we're picking up in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 14. And Jesus said, "If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." And this comes right after what Jesus had just taught his disciples about prayer. And part of that prayer was in verse 12, when Jesus said, "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." Some translations use the word trespasses rather than the word debt. But the word that we read in verse 14 is a different word and is translated as sin. Let me just reread that for us. "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." The word sin literally means to miss the mark. By definition, to sin is to not do what we're supposed to do. We miss the mark. Where to trespass is to cross over a prohibited line. That is to do what we should not do. So these two words include not doing what we should do, sin, we miss the mark, and doing what we should not do, trespass, which covers just about everything we can do wrong. Now, there are two things here. There is forgiveness from God for wrongs done against him, and there is forgiveness to others for wrongs committed against us. There is a God dimension, forgiveness by God, and there's also this relationship dimension with other people, which is forgiveness to them for their sins against us. And these two things are so closely related that one cannot be effective without the other. "Forgive us our debts," Jesus prayed, "in the same way that we forgive our debtors." Now, that's real easy to say, but boy, it's sure not always the easiest thing to do. We cannot separate these things out and say, "I want forgiveness from God, but I'm not going to be willing to forgive someone else or forgive others." Forgiveness is something which is very real in our lives, and it often involves something that is very personal and maybe even painful to us. You know, if someone has hurt you deeply, it might have been your spouse, or an ex-spouse, or a parent, or a family member, or a colleague, or a trusted friend. The closer the relationship was with the person, the more painful the hurt is. You know, it might have been very accidental, or they might have been totally unaware of what they did, but something was done, and that has left you in great pain. It's very likely, if this is true in your life, those things and that person has come to mind right now. You know, it's very well to say, "Well, just forgive them." That's easy to say. But yet, that's what Jesus told us to do, to forgive them. In fact, Jesus says our relationship with God is related to our relationship with other people. Could there be a blockage in your relationship with God because of not forgiving someone else? You've not forgiven them, and that has now caused a blockage in your relationship with God? The whole question of why forgive is an important one. Now, there are extremes. One extreme is being sinned against us, and that is you simply roll over, you take it, and you keep on taking it, and the offender keeps on re-offending, and you have this just take it attitude because you feel, well, that's what you have to do or you're supposed to do. But there's something wrong with that, because we know that if that is what we do, the abuser will get away with things that are never called into account. That's one extreme. You keep taking it, and you keep saying, "I forgive you," but nothing ever changes. The other extreme is taking the position of demanding that justice is served, that the person who offended you must pay in full for their deeds. And once they've done that, you might forgive them, but not until they have paid to the very last bit. You know, it sounds all right, but what is wrong is the person who has been offended against can build up this wall of bitterness and resentment and anger, which will eventually poison their whole attitude and life. So let me ask, which comes first? Being forgiven or being forgiving? And it would seem that being forgiving is the prerequisite that comes before being forgiven. You know, Jesus told a story in Matthew 18, which helps us with this issue. I'm going to read the story to us, starting in verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. The fellow servant fell to his knees and begged, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." You know, we have no problem with this story because we resonate with the logic of what happened. If servant A had been forgiven 10,000 talents, and then he goes out and he meets servant B, who owes him only 100 denarii, and then he has him thrown into prison. And to help us to try to get a grasp of this, let's say a talent is worth $100, and a denarii is worth a cent, a penny. So there are 10,000 talents that are owed at $100 each. That's $1,000,000. And we have 100 denarii at a cent each, that's a dollar. And you know, we would respond with moral outrage at the person who was forgiven so much, and then they refuse to forgive the person that had this little bit of debt against them. We would be outraged at that. They should at least be forgiving towards someone else, especially when they'd been forgiven so much and the debt that was owed to them was so small. You know, that's the whole point of Jesus' story. Is this man needed to forgive because he had been forgiven so much? Being forgiven was the prerequisite for being forgiving and to have been forgiven so much, made it necessary to now be forgiving toward someone else. You know, this is true of us as well. And Jesus said in our text, "Unless you forgive others, there is no forgiveness from your heavenly Father." Jesus is saying to his disciples, if you really understand what it means to be forgiven, being forgiving will not be an issue for you at all. But if you do not understand what it means to be forgiven, you will not be forgiving towards others, and then you will not be forgiven yourself. You know, this is a very sobering matter. How these two things are so closely connected together. Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." We are to forgive others as Christ has forgiven us. But it will be difficult for us to forgive others if we don't understand the gravity of our own sin. You know, if you have no understanding of what your sin has done to your relationship with God, and if you have no understanding what the cross of Jesus Christ, which is God's response in mercy and love to you, and grace and kindness because of your sin, if you have no understanding of that, you will be unforgiving toward other people. But when you know what it really means to be forgiven, we cannot help but be overcome with humility and compassion. And if we're not overwhelmed with humility and compassion, we have probably never understood the gravity of our sin and God's forgiveness to us. So why forgive? Because we have been forgiven so much. You know, at the end of the story of the unmerciful servant, Jesus said in Matthew 18:35, he said, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Unless you forgive from your heart. It has to come from your heart. It's not a legal obligation. It comes from your heart, where your heart is willing to forgive because all of what you have been forgiven. You know, sometimes it's a long process. But with God at work in your life, there comes this change of heart. You know, it makes me think of Joseph in the Old Testament book of Genesis. All that Joseph went through as a young man after his brothers sold him into slavery. And when Joseph was finally reunited with his family many, many years later, Joseph, instead of responding in bitterness and revenge, his heart was broken. And he said, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." Why should we forgive? Because we have been forgiven so much. There are two important verses in the New Testament concerning forgiveness. One we've already looked at, Ephesians 4:32, where Paul says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." How did God forgive you? That is how we are to forgive one another. The second one comes in Colossians 2:13, which says, "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." How was that? When God forgave you, He forgave you all of your sin. We read in Colossians 2:13, it says, "When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins." When God forgives, He removes all our sin. In Psalm 103, verse 12, it says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." It is gone. An immeasurable infinity. You know, if the psalmist had said, "As far as the north is from the south," that's a limited distance. As we travel on our planet, if we go from the north and we start traveling south, we can only travel so far, and before you know it, you start heading north again. But as far as the east is from the west, if you start heading west, you'll keep on going and going and going. And if you went east, you keep going and going and going. And it's an immeasurable infinity. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our sin from us. You know, it's not only gone, but the scriptures say when God forgives, He remembers it no more. In Hebrews 8:12, we read, "For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." Now, that doesn't mean that God's forgetful. It means he will never recall it again. You'll never have to account for it again. You'll never have to explain it again. You'll never have to confess it again. Forgive as the Lord forgives you. You forgive and you remember it no more. That means it's gone. And there is no need to ever talk about it again. You know, maybe you know there is someone with whom things are not right, and you need to forgive them. Ask God to give you the grace to forgive that individual or these people from your heart, because you know you have been forgiven so much. And you know, you'll be releasing yourself from that root of bitterness that so quickly grows up and can take control of our life. Forgive as God has forgiven you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, so often we hang on to all the wrong things which control our lives and bring with them bitterness and anger. Lord, as you have forgiven us all of our sin and transgressions, and because of what you have done for each one of us, may we be ever forgiving and showing love to one another. I pray in Jesus' name.